Down goes number 7 on a wild Saturday in college basketball. Duke has now lost 3 of their last 4. They're 23-6 overall, 13-5 in the ACC.
It's been a weird and wild season for men's college basketball. With Duke losing 3 of their last 4 games, there's a sense that anyone can win it all. And no one knows how the final rankings will shake out. Today, will traditional powerhouses like Kansas and Gonzaga dominate in the NCAA tournament? Or will March Madness truly live up to its name? I'm Mina Kimes. It's Monday, March 2nd. This is ESPN Daily, presented by ADT. Myron, I think the last time we spoke, I was at Cameron Indoor Stadium asking you what you thought about Zion Williamson.
I think that was the last time. And now Zion's gone and things haven't been as good for college basketball since he left.
Myron Metcalf is a senior college basketball reporter for ESPN. Men's college basketball has been having a pretty weird season. Can you explain to us sort of the state of things and why some of the usually omnipresent contenders, your Dukes, your UNCs, Kentucky, aren't even in the top 5?
Well, I would say, in a year like this, anybody who tells you that they know exactly what's going to happen in March, they're lying. Because there is no one, no expert that understands kind of what's happened so far. It's just been a wild year. But I think you can look at some of the things that transpired really at the start of the season. I think the James Wiseman suspension.
Because he has been suspended by the NCAA for 12 games after being ruled ineligible.
You have a Memphis team that I think had a chance to be much better if he sticks around. LaMelo Ball, who if he follows the traditional track and goes to a UCLA or USC, that changes the spotlight on those programs as well. But instead, you have a lot of the blue blood teams that don't have the lottery level talent that they had a year ago. Duke is still a top 10 level team, but they don't have anyone close to a Zion. You have a team like Gonzaga that had 2 lottery picks last year. They've got some good players, nothing like that. So the powerhouse teams are just really good team, which has closed the gap. So now a San Diego State with a Malachi Flynn.
And against double team, Malachi for 3. Good! Huge 3 by Malachi Flynn.
That's a really good team competing for a number 1 seed, a Dayton with an Obi Toppin, and suddenly is one of the best teams in America. And I think it's because you just don't have the same concentration of talent we're accustomed to seeing with your Kentuckys and Dukes and your KUs.
Myron, what is it like covering a season like this where there are really clear favorites and no one seems to have any idea what's going on?
This year, you just don't really know who to chase. Like, you don't know who to say, okay, that's the team to watch because they're really good. It just feels like a pretty fragile college basketball scene, which is great for the tournament. For everything we didn't have in college basketball this year, in terms of no established kind of powerhouse team, I think we're going to see the benefits of it come NCAA tournament time when we could have one of the craziest, craziest March Madnesses we've ever had.
So let's talk about Duke, which even when Duke's not great, we're still going to talk about Duke because it's really interesting, Myron, how much they've struggled. On Saturday, they lost to Virginia.
Top of the arc for 3. Oh! Off the back of the rim, no good. And Virginia wins it. They got a look, coach. Two steps behind the three-point line. He just couldn't connect.
Before that game, they were ranked 7th, but I imagine they could go down even further now, right?
This is a team that I think will fall in the rankings. Duke is running to some teams who put on their Superman capes in the last couple of games, and that's changed things. You have NC State, which made 61% of its threes in that loss a week ago. Wake Forest makes 54% of its threes. These aren't things those teams had done before they faced Duke. And Virginia really is just a team on the rise. So I think Duke got caught in kind of a weird gauntlet there. But Trey Jones has been sort of their closer, whereas a year ago, you could go to RJ Barrett, you could go to Cam Reddish, you could go to Zion, and now they're a bit more one-dimensional. They're much closer to what you see maybe in a typical season where they're right there with Louisville and Florida State and Virginia and the other teams at the top of the ACC, but they don't have a guy, meaning who's going to carry them to the top of that league and just help them separate. There's just not enough talent in college basketball for really any team to do that, but especially in a league like the ACC.
So you're in Kansas right now, and Kansas is the number one team. You were there to watch them play Kansas State, and it was a rematch, right? Because these two teams ended up fighting, literally fighting, back in January.
And a block to finish. And DeSosa blocks it, and now the bench is empty. Just unnecessary.
Yep. That's not good.
This is bad.
This is
no. No good.
But on Saturday night, Myron, they shook hands before the tip-off, and Kansas came away with the victory. What did you make of the number one team and their performance?
Well, first, I'm just glad nobody fought again, because that would have been bad. I'm glad they had that moment before the game. I will say, I've never been to a regular basketball game outside of the NCAA tournament that had as much security as that game had. I mean, they were everywhere, but I'm glad there wasn't an incident. I think Kansas is sort of the perfect team in a year like this. Do they have a lottery pick? No. But they've got this really balanced group of guys who are pretty good offensively. They've been a pretty efficient team. And they got two guys who, when they're together, they're hard to stop. And that's Devin Dotson and Udoka Azubuike, who, when they're on the floor together, Kansas has made about 60% of its shots inside the arc. Their opponents have made about 41% of their shots inside the three-point line. That's the story right there. When those two guys are together, Kansas is certainly the best team in America. But you also look at them and go, are they one bad night from Azubuike away from struggling? He was hurt part of the game on Saturday against a bad Kansas State team.
Moss feeds it in on a bounce pass to Azubuike. Six to shoot. He backs down, spins, travels, and he misses the shot ultimately, but he rolled his ankle. Oh, this isn't good. Azubuike is clutching his right foot.
So Kansas is good, but like a lot of teams, they're one bad moment, bad stretch away from being right there with everybody else.
Well, now it seems like Kansas is going to run away with the Big 12 after Baylor, who was ranked number two going into the weekend, got upset by TCU. How bad was this for Baylor?
You know, it's always interesting, right? Like, Baylor won every game but one for like 2 months straight. And now all of a sudden, the last week, I think a lot of people are panicking. And that happens to a team like Baylor, which doesn't have the brand recognition of a Duke or a Kentucky or a Kansas. So in hard times, I think we maybe overemphasize some of their struggles. I think you obviously don't want to continue losing, and losing to a team like TCU is not good for them. But this is a team that, again, played a TCU team that did things that they haven't done in the past, made 45% of their threes on Saturday against Baylor. They'd made 33% of their shots from the three-point line before that. So that can be more of an anomaly. I think Baylor overall, though, is one of the best defensive teams in America, maybe the best defensive team not named Kansas. So that's going to keep them in every game that they play.
Well, one team that's right up there with Kansas and Baylor is Gonzaga, perennial contenders. They did lose to BYU about a week ago, but they're still considered favorites to win the WCC. How good is this Gonzaga team?
I think they're really, really good. I mean, like, I think they're amazing. I just think this is a year where, because everyone has been sort of even, you get one loss and all of a sudden Gonzaga gets the whole, you haven't played anybody, and why are you losing, you know, in the West Coast Conference? And I think that's unfair. Like, BYU was a really good team. Like, BYU is going to go into Selection Sunday with maybe a 5 or 6 seed, maybe even better. So there's nothing wrong with losing a road game in that environment to a good team. They have the number one offense in America. Philippe Petrushev is one of the best young players in the entire country. We know what Mark Few, the head coach, can do. And they've got two losses all year. I think that is one of the best teams in America. And I think they'll prove it once the NCAA tournament starts.
So most of the rankings have some combination of, you know, Kansas, Baylor, and Gonzaga in the top three. We'll see how this weekend changes that. But after that, Myron, gets pretty interesting. I mean, you've got Dayton, San Diego State. Did you see that coming before the season began?
I wish I could lie and say I did. Like, I wish I could be that dude who was like, yeah, I called San Diego State back in October in Dayton, but I didn't. I mean, like, Obi Toppin at Dayton is suddenly this lottery pick. And I don't think anybody saw that coming. Dayton on Friday against Davidson, Mia, think about this number. They made 96% of their shots inside the three-point line. 96%. Like, I don't care if you're playing a high school junior varsity team. That's really difficult to do, and Dayton did that. And not only did they do it, they've been doing it throughout the season. Just really an efficient offensive team. And San Diego State, a team that lost its first game about a week and a half ago, they've been rolling as well. And there are a lot of people who will say San Diego State doesn't play the competition that the other top teams have faced in college basketball. That's not true. They beat the same BYU team that just beat Gonzaga. They beat Creighton, which I think is the surprise of college basketball, and they can win it all, by 31 points. And they beat Iowa, another solid team, another NCAA tournament team, by 10 points. So the best teams that were thrown at San Diego State, they won those games. Now, they did lose to UNLV a week ago, but beyond that, they've been a really, really good team. And I think in a year like this, again, you're not going to run into a team with two lottery picks. It feels like they can make a run as well, both San Diego State and Dayton.
All right, after the break, let's talk about how this all might play out in the tournament. The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, Myron, this feels like one of those years where 99.9999% of people's brackets are going to get busted almost immediately, but we're still going to try to predict the outcomes anyways. How much will the rankings affect the tournament this year?
I don't think the rankings will matter unless, you know, coaches and players use it as motivation, the way Ja Morant used somebody on Twitter as motivation against the Lakers. I don't think it's a big deal, especially in a year like this where, you know, who's really the number one team in America, who's number two. I don't think any of that matters. But I do think seed matters more than ever because, of course, Virginia became the first number one seed to lose to a 16 2 years ago. But I think this is also one of those years where, like, a 3 where you're playing some dangerous 14 seed versus getting that 2. That is what the top teams in the country are certainly thinking about going into the NCAA tournament, not getting caught in some difficult first round matchup that ends your season prematurely.
Well, you mentioned the infamous Virginia upset, which you may have forgotten, but UMBC will never let you forget that happened. I don't think anyone saw that coming, but are there any sort of Cinderellas or giant slayers that you're looking out for that first weekend?
Well, I would say, I mean, if you want to talk about like true Cinderella teams, you can't ignore, I think, the Stephen F. Austin team that won at Duke.
Duke can hold for the final shot.
Boy, the Lumberjacks had it. They just couldn't secure it.
Loose. Kensmill's got it. They've got a timeout. They don't use it. Bane! Yes! The Lumberjacks have done it!
And then from there, just kind of bulldozed everybody in the Southland Conference. They are forcing turnovers on almost 30% of their opponent's attempts, which is means, you know, every 10 possessions, you're turn the ball over three times against them. I mean, they are a really, really frustrating opponent. They've lost two games since December 2nd, and they're just scary.
You should also be scared because their mascot is just a dude dressed up as a lumberjack with an axe.
Scary. I've seen them. It's very, very terrifying. It really is.
Well, who are some of the more realistic contenders sort of in that middle tier, you know, above your Stephen F. Austins, but below your Kansases and Gonzagas?
Well, I mean, the Big Ten might have all of them because there are a bunch of teams in the Big Ten that are just very interesting, like a Wisconsin team that I thought wasn't worth following has suddenly won five games in a row, just won at Michigan. They're now playing in the top tier of that league. You know, I think a team like Penn State, which people think Penn State and they think football, right? I mean, but Penn State, despite its loss on Saturday to Iowa, has been a really good team. They've lost three games only since January 15th. The one team that I would keep an eye on is this good Providence team, which no one really saw them coming, but they've won four in a row. They defeated teams like Seton Hall, which is a really good team, beat Marquette by double digits. And then on Saturday, they went to Villanova and they won there as well. So I think that to me is a rather interesting team. I would watch UCLA, surprisingly. UCLA, Mick Cronin's first year on the job, and here he is in first place in the Pac-12. It is remarkable what has happened. Now, UCLA isn't a lock to get into the tournament, believe it or not. But if they do, I mean, you're talking about a team that has legitimately been on a run since February 6th. No one saw this coming from Mick Cronin, who was basically doing this with Steve Alford's leftovers. So I think they're going to be an interesting team to follow as well. But I honestly feel like you might have 20 teams, depending on the draw, that have a chance to win this thing.
What about teams on the bubble? Is there anyone who jumps out at you that might actually be a breakthrough team?
Well, I'll say this, and this is my favorite team. And if I were saying, hey, who should you follow in college basketball over the next week or so, give me Rhode Island. And they have, to me, my favorite player, and he also has the best name in college basketball, Fats Russell. Fats Russell is a guy who's a 5'10 guard who has just been great. He's fiery. He's not afraid to fight people. He's just one of those guys who's tough. And in the next three games, we'll find out if they're going to get over the bubble and get into the NCAA tournament. But they've been a really good team. Their only crime is that they're playing in Dayton's league. And Dayton has been obviously the talk of that league. Providence, I mentioned them earlier and what they might be able to do. And then that UCLA team.
Myron, you've been covering college basketball for a long time. Is this as wide open a field as you've ever seen?
Yeah, to me, because, you know, usually even in a year like this where you say it's wide open, there's a Duke, Kansas, there's an Arizona, there's a Kentucky. Someone has a team where you're like, yeah, it's wide open to a point. Okay, you can get to the Elite Eight, but then the top teams are going to take over and eliminate all these mid-majors. This actually feels like your Dayton's and San Diego State's and Gonzaga's, they can win it all. You don't have a big Power Five program other than Kansas, if they stay healthy, that could kind of beat anyone out there. So it does feel as wide open as any year that I've covered.
I think people get tired of seeing the same teams on top every year, Myron, but people also like rooting against them. And by them, I mean Duke. I'm talking about Duke. People like rooting against Duke. Do you think this level of parity that you're describing is good for college basketball, or do you think it's going to be a problem when March Madness begins?
I think in terms of the health of the sport, having Duke and Kansas and Kentucky as the teams to chase, that's always good for the sport. And then if you get a San Diego State or a Dayton or some team like Loyola Chicago a couple years ago, if you get them to enter the mix, that's the best blend. But Duke being involved is always going to be a good thing because, you know, when you look at fans, and like Twitter is my unofficial poll, Mina, there is no fan base in America that gets more satisfaction They get more satisfaction out of playing Duke and beating Duke than any other team in America. Like, you could beat Kentucky, Arizona, Kansas. You could beat the Milwaukee Bucks. It would not be the same level of celebration that teams have when they find a way to beat Duke. So certainly having Duke in the mix is a good thing for college basketball and the NCAA tournament.
All right. It's March 2nd. Myron, we've got a long way to go. I'm going to ask you this again at some point, but I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Who wins it all?
I will say, if I had to pick right now, it would be Kansas. I would also say, if we find out that Azubuike isn't healthy for some reason, or he's got some lingering injury, I would replace Kansas with Gonzaga. Because they're right there as well. But I think Kansas is the team that I would pick if I had to right now. But I mean, all of the top 10 teams in this week's poll could be out of it by the time we get to Atlanta. Like, that's how wide open it is.
Thanks so much, Myron.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Coming up, are pitchers really going after the Astros? Now you can win a $250,000 home renovation designed by the Scott Brothers in an ADT smart home security system. To enter, just head to ADT.com/passtheprotection and tell us what you want to protect. A beautiful home is great, but a safer home is even better. Now is your opportunity to get both. The winner and the winner's home will be featured in an ADT video with the Scott Brothers. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Ends March 16th. Must be 18 or over and a homeowner as of February 1st, 2020. To learn more about the contest and read the official rules, go to ADT.com/passtheprotection. Here's another story I want you to know. As we've been chronicling here on ESPN Daily, people are really, really mad at the Houston Astros. They're so mad, it's widely believed that opposing teams' fans are going to boo the Astros all season. Think Game of Thrones styles cries of shame, shame, shame. And opposing pitchers are gonna drill them. Indeed, the William Hill Sportsbook has the over-under on Astros getting hit by pitches at 83.5, which would be up from 66 last year. And as of Sunday morning, Houston players had been hit 7 times. With videos about Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman getting plunked making the rounds online, it would seem like we're in for a season of chaos. Except that, according to ESPN baseball writer David Schoenfeld, it's actually not that unusual. In a piece he wrote for ESPN.com, Schoenfeld points out that while Bregman and Altuve were amongst the players who have been hit, and not by fastballs, it should be noted, the 5 other Astros who were plunked weren't likely targets for some revenge scheme. 3 of them were low-level minor leaguers, and 1, Dustin Garneau, wasn't even on the Astros until this season. Schoenfeld also notes that only 3 of the pitchers who committed the plunking were even in the majors last year. Most of them are guys who are just trying to make big league teams, meaning they're unlikely candidates to waste their pitches on street justice. On top of that, well, it may seem like 7 pitches through just a few games is a lot. The Reds, Dodgers, and Cardinals have all been hit by 9 pitches each already. Now, that doesn't mean the Astros will escape getting punished this season. It's possible that pitchers are waiting for the bigger stage after spring training. But it does mean we should pump the brakes before predicting a season of vengeance. Or at least we should wait until we see some more trustworthy signs. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.